Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. We open our show today with a health warning about E. coli and several children who visited the San Diego County Fair, including a child who died. And then, as we celebrate our rights and freedoms of all Americans this 4th of July week, our interviews are with Jack Hsu and Janet Castaños, who are working to bring a Citizens Police Oversight or Advisory Board to La Mesa. Next up, hear about all the 4th of July festivities, fireworks, and other events throughout the month of July. And finally, we'll be re-airing our annual 4th of July holiday special, our interviews with our nation's founding fathers and some founding mothers on the issues facing America in their day, many of which are the same issues still making headlines today. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters, and have a happy and safe Independence Day weekend. This is Miriam Raftery with a health alert. Four children have become ill with E. coli and a 2-year-old child, Jedediah King Cabezuela, has died. All of the children visited the San Diego County Fair's animal areas or the petting zoo between June 8th and June 15th, but did not develop symptoms until several days later. The death occurred on June 24th after the toddler was hospitalized with kidney failure. The fair shut down public access to all animal exhibits and the petting zoo to protect public safety while the investigation into the exact source of the outbreak continues. County health officials inspected food facilities visited by the children, but found no problems there. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says while most people recover from this form of E. coli without complications, about 5 to 10% of those diagnosed will develop the life-threatening kidney infection. Illnesses can occur between 1 and 10 days after exposure, with symptoms that may include abdominal cramping, severe diarrhea, vomiting, or in some cases, fever. Now, if you visited the fair on or after June 8th and you have these symptoms, the county urges you to contact your health care provider immediately. The county recommends always washing your hands thoroughly after contacting animals at farms, fairs, petting zoos, or anywhere else, especially before eating or drinking, to help avoid contracting or spreading E. coli. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. My very special guests today are Jack Hsu and Janet Castaños, and we are here to talk about creating a police oversight or advisory board for the city of La Mesa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marion.
Can we start by letting the listeners know a little bit about your backgrounds? Jack, I know that you've been a superintendent in the past of the California State Parks and Recreation Department. Tell us what kind of law enforcement experience you had there.
I'm a retired park superintendent of California State Parks. And at the time that I served for state parks, park superintendents were peace officers. We received the same basic training as other law enforcement officers, whether it be highway patrol or city policemen.
And Janet, you have an education background as a former dean of social and behavioral sciences with the Grossmont-Cuyamac Community College District. So tell us how that background is helpful to you in serving on this task force.
I've worked extensively with Helix Charter High School as a former president of their charter board, and I currently serve as a person involved in leadership training on campus. It's an internship with the County of San Diego, and I've advocated with the students in their efforts to get some issues or concerns rectified.
Which brings me to my next question. What are the specific concerns that have given rise to your belief that the city needs a police oversight or advisory board?
We have had some concerns over the past year and a half, specifically. There was an incident on the Helix campus involving police involvement with a student, a 17-year-old student. And there were community concerns, some outrage. Students voiced their concerns rather heavily. There was an investigation that took place over the course of the year following. The report came out. And then once the report came out, there was very little that came forward.
The public wasn't allowed to know what was in the report, right, basically, and neither was the city council.
Yes. So it was, you know, there was a lot of frustration among community members and concerns because of the lack of transparency that seemed to come forward through that incident. And this started the ball rolling with this.
Yeah. And for those who may not be familiar with it, the specific incident in question involved a student at Helix, a female student who was found to have brought pepper spray to campus because her mother had given it to her for self-defense since she rode the trolley. And she became upset when she was asked to leave campus. The police were called. And then in a video that went viral, a La Mesa police officer was shown rather roughly knocking her to the ground, slamming her to the ground. Of course, the video didn't show what happened before, but this caused a lot of concern about, was this level of response really necessary? Should the police have been called? Once they were called, was this level of force really called for or not? A lot of people felt that it wasn't. There was a report that the city actually hired a consultant to write, and I think the city council was surprised to learn they weren't allowed to read what was in that report, that only the chief of police could see it due to the privacy concerns, and it found that the police did not violate any policies. So besides the Helix incident, Jack, what else? I understand there was an earlier grand jury report that predated that.
Prior to that, in May of 2016, a grand jury recommended the cities like La Mesa develop review or oversight committees with citizen involvement. So I should say that, you know, times have changed. Irregardless of what happened at Helix, we need citizen involvement in law enforcement. Any good law enforcement agency needs the trust of the community, and a oversight committee or review committee will provide a link for law enforcement agencies with the community to help develop and maintain that trust.
Have you had an opportunity to meet with La Mesa's police chief, Walt Vasquez? And if so, how responsive was he?
We've met him several times. In fact, twice specifically just on this issue of developing some oversight or a review commission. And he's been very open to discussing that with us. And, you know, I think we're fortunate enough to have a very good police chief.
He's even asked us to provide information that we come up with and recommendations for an oversight committee. He encouraged us to meet with the Police Officers Association, and we did, and we gathered information from that person as well. So I think all the way around, the police department has been working very well with us to bring this about in a very collegial, collaborative manner, and we're really impressed with that.
Well, that's very reassuring to hear. In this divisive day and time that we're living in, it's great to hear some community collaboration on all sides. In addition to the police groups, have you reached out to any groups in the public for their input?
One of the groups that we have worked with is La Mesa Conversations. It's a community-based organization that helped us hold a very nice event, bringing in other experts to give us more input on what the process is and what we should look out for. We're always open to getting more public input from faith groups, from groups that are involved with refugees, homeless. These are all parts of our community, and of course, the business community. They're all part of La Mesa, and we're not doing this by any means on our own or just with a small group.
So explain to us what the difference is between a police oversight committee and a police advisory committee, and which one you think the city of La Mesa should adopt.
So an advisory committee is more of making recommendations to the chief about policies, about procedures, about things that occur within the police department. However, there's not a lot of power behind an advisory committee. They are merely there to make recommendations and suggestions. You can ramp it up several levels. Review committees have a little more oversight. And then, you know, when you get to the strongest oversight level, then there's subpoena power. So working with the police department to find out which level of oversight will work for their situation, will work for the community, so the community is happy. It's a give and take. And the whole idea is to make sure we have developed a level of trust where whatever it is we're doing, whatever type of oversight that takes place, there's trust to be had on both sides of the issue. And hopefully there aren't any sides. It's all about making better police department.
Some people argue that oversight could make a police officer's job more difficult or even endanger them. Can you speak to that, please?
I don't think oversight is harmful. We give law enforcement officers a huge amount of discretion. And I think that discretion generally is good. It provides them the ability to provide the right kind of law enforcement for that particular situation. But along with that means that they need to trust the community and give the community information as to their performance and what led them to a particular kind of action. That's how law enforcement gets its power, is through community trust. And for in recent years, we've seen a degradation of that trust, and law enforcement seems to want to have more and more protection or to want to work totally by themselves and not have that transparency. And I think that leads to a lack of confidence, and we want that confidence back.
Do you think that subpoena power is a necessary component?
Subpoena power, many people, the public may feel that that's a necessary component of some oversight committee. That may or may not be true. The issue with subpoena power is that law enforcement officers, like any other individual, can plead the Fifth Amendment and not testify to something. And when they do that, you get less information. Administratively, a police department can ask a number of questions of any of their employees, and that includes law enforcement. And that's how we get information. So a police oversight or review commission with trained people can be involved with that process and keep the confidentiality as well as the personnel information completely confidential.
How would you decide who makes up the committee and make sure that it's inclusive of various views? For example, I've seen criticism in one community elsewhere where they finally agreed to have an oversight or review committee, and then they stacked it by not allowing anybody who was critical of the police historically to be on it. So how do you make sure that you have both representatives of those who are maybe concerned about police actions, communities that may feel they're more apt to be victimized, but also have the police view represented, you know, people who might have a law enforcement perspective on the issues?
Well, in this country, we should know how to do that. We know about checks and balances and ensuring that no one has total power. So obviously, if the police chief is the person who selects all the members of a review committee, that wouldn't make sense. That would give so much power to them, or to just the mayor. So I think we need to make sure first that the process is fair, and they're giving people of different backgrounds, different levels of the city input in the process. So for a city like La Mesa, we need to make sure that the mayor may be involved, city council members, as well as law enforcement in developing this balanced approach to assure that no single entity in the city has power over who is selected. In addition to that, we want to make sure that all elements of the city are represented, whether it's the business community, interfaith community, communities that we don't often hear from, whether they be people of color, low-income residents, others, they need to be part of this review process and be trusted enough to be part of the process, and that trust goes both ways.
Now, a couple of years ago, back after that 2016 grand jury report, the city council at that time didn't seem very interested or think that they needed a citizens review oversight board. They basically said, we haven't had a lot of complaints about our police department, so we don't think we need it. Has that changed either since the Helix incident or the last election with some changes at the city council?
So I think there has been a major shift in perspective on the city council itself. We have opportunities for taking on social justice concerns and becoming more socially conscious about various sectors of our community, because we did vote in to our city council, Dr. Akilah Weber, who brings a different perspective, and I think she's highly respected among the council members, which is really powerful in that when she voices a concern or raises some objection, they listen to her. She's very respected and honored, I think, among the city council members, which has really been, I think it's transformed the city council.
Yeah, very articulate. It should be noted that Dr. Akilah Weber, she is a medical doctor. She is herself African American, and she's the daughter of Dr. Shirley Weber, the assemblywoman who has been championing a lot of police reform measures, a major police reform measure in Sacramento.
Yes, Shirley Weber has been really active in moving through state legislature, the AB 392 process, which deals with use of force by police officers and indicates that it must, you turn to use of force when your life is in danger or the life of other people around are in danger rather than just a other reasons to recommend. It's on its way to becoming state law. It still has to pass through the state Senate.
Jack, can you tell us about Senate Bill 1421, another big piece of legislation in Sacramento?
So SB 1421 is now law. And in California, if an officer committed certain crimes or use force, deadly bodily force, that information cannot be concealed, and that can be retrieved by the public. And I think that's very important. Law enforcement Yes. officers shouldn't hide behind very strong laws that protect them to the point in which we can't find basic information about individual peace officers.
Yeah, so we're seeing these reforms at the state level, and it seems to be filtering down to the local level. So back to the city of La Mesa, what are the next steps for people that may be concerned or want to get involved? Jack, is there a way to do that? And does the council have a date yet when they're going to be actually considering this?
We hope the council will entertain a motion to take some action to form a task force with a specific timeline, possibly 3 months, in which that task force develops a sound, balanced approach to this issue and presents a proposal that forms a citizens' oversight or review commission in the city of La Mesa. That's, I think, a task force that can be balanced in its makeup initially, and that this task force uses much of the information that we have found that is necessary for an effective review commission or oversight commission, whatever we end up calling it, so that we have a formal process to do that.
Now, I understand that the La Mesa police chief has tasked one of his officers to do some research and that the police are going to be making their own presentation to the council coming up in July.
I encourage citizens of La Mesa and others to contact the city council members, the individual council members, and the mayor and say, you know, it's time. Let's get this going. Let's do it in a sound and professional way. If we don't get it through that process, then the citizens of La Mesa are free to form our own measure in our city and form the kind of process that would give us a review commission that is going to be the state of the art.
So you're talking about a ballot measure if the council won't act.
Correct. And I hate to threaten the city council member in that way, but I think it's time. You know, we're not after individuals. We're not out to get the police department. We want a better law enforcement. In fact, we want the best kind of law enforcement agency we can have in La Mesa. And in this time and age, those agencies will require this kind of review process.
Very good. Jack, I understand you've done some research on this, by the way, in some of the other cities that have adopted review boards. Is there any takeaway, a key point or two that you'd like to share on that?
Well, I think citizens in La Mesa should know that right now, when something happens and a citizen complains and it's something serious, the entire process of review and investigation sits with the police chief. That means the police chief does the whole investigation or at least oversees the whole entire investigation. There's no citizens involved. In fact, the city council and mayor is not involved either.
Yes, it's basically police investigating themselves. Obviously, it's difficult to have confidence in that outcome when there's no outside independent oversight.
Correct. So in other cities where they have a review commission, then you have citizens that are trained that can keep their information confidential involved in that process to see what is found in the investigation and to provide information to the general public that they can.
Very good. Janet, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Well, I think the main purpose is, as Jack mentioned, we want to bring about the best possible police department the city of La Mesa can have. And we can do that by building community trust, by bringing forth community leaders to represent various constituent groups in our community. And through building this trust, we'll have greater involvement in assisting police. We really want this to be a community-led activity and one that is not political, but one that shows that we're all working together to bring about the common good for both police officers and citizens alike.
Yeah, Jack, can you speak to that for a moment? How do you see a Citizens Police Oversight Committee as being a win-win for both the public, the citizens of La Mesa, but also for the police department itself?
Well, it gives the police department more transparency, and I think the public will be able to get information in a trusted way. That means individuals that they can trust, that is not part of the police department, see that information and reveal what they can to the general public.
So, for instance, if there is a shooting and the police say it's justified, there might be more confidence in that decision if the oversight committee agrees on some occasions.
Correct. And that actually protects police officers, because police officers can then get the greater confidence from citizens. And that's the win-win part. For law enforcement, they gain strength through this process. They don't lose strength. And the citizens feel that they have gotten more strength and more involvement.
Yeah, and of course, conversely, if there's a situation where the oversight committee deems that the police perhaps could have acted in a more restrained fashion, there's room for suggesting reforms, procedural changes, or changes in the law.
Yes. And I think that's what's important to remember. You know, peace officers, law enforcement, they do not gain strength by getting bigger guns.
Yeah.
They gain strength by having the trust of the community.
Exactly. Janet, I have one additional question for you. Since you've been involved in the Helix Charter School, I'm curious, what steps, if any, did Helix take separately from the police or the city to address what happened with the black student that was taken down by the white officer? Have they taken any steps to try to avoid that kind of a situation from happening again?
Yes, there have been several meetings involving both the chief of police, the executive director at Helix Students, who voiced concern about this. And they've come together on several occasions, met to decide next steps, brought in the Tarek Kamisa Foundation to establish a program that works with students on restorative justice program. And they brought them back on numerous occasions to work with students in large groups and small groups. And I think it's really transformed the way Helix looks at various situations of discipline that are disciplinary in manner. However, you know, I must say Helix has been a wonderful school and works very hard to make sure that all students are treated with respect. And that is one thing that's always been kind of a shining star on the Helix mantle.
Listeners, if you just tuned in, we have been speaking with Jack Hsu and with Janet Castaños, who are pushing to get a citizens oversight board or review board for police activities in the city of La Mesa. I want to thank both of you for joining us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
July brings Independence Day celebrations, including 4th of July parades in Julian and Alpine, the Lake Murray Fireworks and Music Festival, as well as Independence Day celebrations in Santee, El Cajon, and Poway.
Plus, we'll have even more July events, including the Sunshine Boys at Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa, the Descanso Days Parade and Fair, Watermelon Days at Oasis Camel Dairy, Pine Valley Days, and A Sip of Julian.
We'll also have some all-summer-long events, including outdoor concerts, movies in parks across our region, classic car shows, and dive-in movies at the Croc Center's swimming pool.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Julian's annual 4th of July parade celebrates the town's Gold Rush history, the dedication of veterans and active duty military members, and local residents who cherish the small-town lifestyle in the mountains of San Diego's East County. The parade rolls out at 10 a.m. down the town's main street, with activities continuing until 5 p.m. Parade entries include the Gold Drum and Bugle Corps, mariachis, bagpipes, vintage tractors and antique cars, belly dancers, Mr. and Mrs. Apple Days, Supervisor Diane Jacob, and more.
The City of El Cajon invites you to celebrate Independence Day with numerous games, live musical entertainment, and fireworks. On Thursday, July 4th, the El Cajon Recreation Department will host the annual picnic and celebration for the city from 1 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at Kennedy Park in El Cajon.
The Lake Murray Fireworks and Music Fest will also be held on July 4th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. This event features food, fun, bands, and fireworks. Fireworks will be launched from a barge on the lake for viewing throughout the community. The Music Fest will be held on the San Carlos side of the lake, but the La Mesa side will also be open throughout the day and evening for fireworks viewing. For more information, you can visit lakemurrayfireworks.org.
Santee Salutes is the City of Santee's July 4th celebration held at Town Center Community Park East from 2:30 to 10:30 p.m. The festivities include live music by the 90s All-Stars, a kids' fun zone, a food area, a patriotic ceremony at 6 p.m. and a spectacular fireworks display at 9. A shuttle service runs from 3:30 to 11 p.m. from the Costco parking lot on Cuyamaca.
Alpine will roll out an old-fashioned 4th of July parade and a carnival from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The parade includes entries ranging from antique cars to costumed children along Alpine Boulevard, ending at the Alpine Community Center Park, home of the Alpine Veterans Wall of Honor. There you can enjoy live music, a deep pit barbecue, and a carnival with plenty of activities for children and families.
Old Poway Park will host an old-fashioned 4th of July celebration, 20th century style, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on July 4th. The historic park will have patriotic entertainment, Western reenactors, model train displays, crafts, old-fashioned games, and, for a fee, rides on a historic railway. Shuttles are available from Poway City Hall's parking lot and Poway Adult School.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa will present Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys from July 5th through August 5th. A young theatrical agent attempts to reunite his elderly uncle, a former vaudeville great, with his longtime stage partner for a TV reunion. For tickets, you can visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
The annual Descanso Days Parade and Fair will take place on July 6th. The parade rolls out at 9 a.m. along Viejas Grade Road. The fair will be held at the historic Descanso Town Hall from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. This year's theme is a blast from the past with live music by the Get Groovin' Dance Band.
It's time again for Watermelon Days at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona, July 13th and 14th from 11:30 to 6 p.m. You can feed watermelons to camels, play games such as watermelon splash and toss, watch an exotic bird and animal show, feed miniature sheep in Sheep Town, and even ride a camel. You can find more information at cameldairy.com.
The Mountain Empire Men's Club will present Pine Valley Days, July 26th and 27th. The two-day festival starts with a deep pit barbecue Friday night and live music by Barb Wire. On Saturday, there's breakfast at the clubhouse at 7 a.m., followed by the Pine Valley Days Parade at 9 a.m. along Old Highway 80. Next up, there's a full day of activities in Pine Valley Park, including children's activities, arts and crafts, vendors, live music, food, and a horseshoe tournament. You can check the pinevalleydays.com site to find more information.
A Sip of Julian on July 27th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. will feature 10 tasting rooms offering samples of beer, wine, hard cider, and craft cocktails with small food pairings. Tickets are available at the Julian Town Hall. Proceeds will be used to fund the annual Julian Country Christmas and Tree Lighting Ceremony.
Now for some all-summer-long events. Grab your popcorn. It's time for summertime movies at the outdoor roller skating rink at Viejas Outlets Shopping Mall in Alpine. Showtime start at 7:30 p.m. every Friday night from now through early July. The lineup of popular movies coming up in July includes Star Wars, The Force Awakens, How to Train a Dragon 3, The Lego Movie, Jungle Book, and Inside Out. A full schedule of events is available at Viejas.com in the entertainment section.
The Salvation Army Joan Crock Community Center, just one block west of La Mesa on University Avenue, invites you to a series of dive-in movies that you can watch in the swimming pool. All shows start at 7 p.m. On July 17th, you can watch Hotel Transylvania 3 Summer Vacation.
El Cajon's popular movies in the park run all summer long at parks across the city. The July lineup includes Aquaman at the Fletcher Hills Pool on July 6th, Incredibles 2 at Bill Beck Park on July 12th, Big Hero 6 at Bostonia Park on July 19th, as well as Ant-Man and the Wasp at Kennedy Park on July 26th. Guests can enjoy additional fun activities before the start of the movie at nightfall. For a list of the shows, you can visit elcajonrec.org.
Lemon Grove Summer Concert Series opens June 27th and continues through August 22nd, each Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berry Street Park. The July and August concerts coming up will include salsa, Cajun Zydeco, rock and roll, Motown, country music, and more. Check the City of Lemon Grove's website calendar for a full schedule of upcoming movies.
El Cajon's popular dinner and a concert series is held each Friday evening at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon from 6 to 8 p.m. Shows will continue all summer long. You can bring a picnic dinner or dine early at one of the restaurants nearby before rocking out at the outdoor concert. A schedule of upcoming performers is available at downtownelcajon.com.
Santee's Summer Concert Series is being held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East on Thursday nights all summer long through August 22nd. July's show include the Bill McGee Blues Band, Three Chord Justice, and Bump City Brass. The City of Santee has the full lineup of artists on its website at cityofsantee.ca.gov and click on the calendar.
The City of La Mesa's Sundays at 6 concert series continues at Harry Griffin Park in the Outdoor Amphitheater each Sunday evening at 6 p.m. through July 28th. July performers are Wild Nights, Ginger Cowgirl, 8-Track Highway, and Sonic Epidemic. Find more information on the City's website at cityoflamesa.com under Special Events.
The La Mesa Village Association rolls out its La Mesa Classic Car Show each Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. from now running through August 29th, although there will be no show over the 4th of July weekend. This event features pre-1974 cars, trucks, and vans. The event will feature DJs and live bands located at 3rd and La Mesa Boulevard and an award giveaway at each event honoring the night's best cars. You can find full details at LaMesaVillageAssociation.org.
El Cajon's Classic Cruise Nights is celebrating its centennial season. You can view classic cars every Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. along Main Street in the heart of downtown El Cajon. July's car show themes include American Muscle, Off-Road Madness, Groovy Vans, VW Mania, and Thrill Seekers. For a full schedule of events, you can visit DowntownElCajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back soon with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County.
This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers, and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never!
King George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her master, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man. I shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent! Excellent!
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by feeling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America, not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including reportedly flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
Mm-hmm. President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people, and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah. Yes. Huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh, that sounds like Ben Franklin doesn't.
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail, where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.